Dr. Michael Roizen.
Dr. Michael Roizen.
You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show.
You're listening to You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show, the great podcast that brings you the best of the medical news and some top guests in the field. Yeah, we have latest data. And in fact, there's something that I want to talk about that's not good news that came out today. But let's go over some of the interesting medical news and talk about our guest for the day. Common heartburn drugs up stroke risk. That's the lead-off story. We'll talk about what drugs should you change and what drugs should you not change. The second story of the day, we'll talk about, actually it's the third story because I'm going to probably give you bad news first, get it out of the way. Second story, drug combo. This is really good news. A drug combo using the PCSK9 inhibitors drug combo reversed plaque buildup. It didn't just hold it stable, it reversed it. Yes, this You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show, gives you the information so you can take control of you and your family's health, plus, of course, the top podcast, top guests. The third story, a public health campaign actually cut consumption of sugary drinks by more than 20%. How did they do it? We'll tell you. The next story, patients who used a medical home, that is, patients who were in what is the new common thing under Obamacare. Well, we think it's going to last, but under Obamacare, patients with a medical home were much more likely to take their medications and control their diseases. We'll tell you how much and what a real medical home is. And then we're going to talk about why you should get control of diabetes and how it can sabotage your circulation, and that diabetes screening lags for Asian Americans, and which milk is best? Soy, cashew, almond, walnut, coconut. You may be surprised. And then we're going to talk about this weird story. Is it BS or real? Philip Morris looks to phase out cigarettes. Why? Philip Morris, which earns a ton of money on cigarettes, is going to phase them out? Well, maybe this is a publicity stunt to get some other thing in. We'll talk about that. We have a great guest at the bottom of the hour, Leslie Mickelson, The Patient's Playbook. This is a book that talks about how to choose the best primary care physician, how to choose the best doctors if you get ill, and a whole bunch of other really important and good information. For example, when you've got a disease, what to do when serious illness strikes. And first, try to refrain from rushing towards the very first treatment proposal you hear. Focus on two questions. What's the best course of treatment for my specific disease? And who are the best doctors to administer the treatment, perform my surgery, oversee my surgery? This is really an incredible guide, The Patient's Playbook. I used to think something that Dr. Oz and I wrote, The Smart Patient, was a great thing, but this, Leslie Mickelson, much better than anything I was involved in writing. Those are the top stories of the week. Remember, we have a guest at the bottom of each of the podcasts. This is podcast 818, coming up, lymphedema and lipedema. What is lipedema? It's that painful fat that 10% of women have. Lymphedema, that's the swelling, the venous insufficiency, the edema, the swelling of the arm or leg, often is painful, but usually after surgery treatments for cancer. Lipedema, unrelated to surgery treatments. We'll talk more about the guest, Karen Louise Herbst, about what this is and how to treat it. It's published by Lymph Notes. We had the podcast, the last podcast, the great one with Charlie Hennekins, talking about a specific toothpaste, Plaque HD, and why it decreased inflammation throughout your body. You'll want to listen to 817 if you haven't already. We also, 816, he was also on 814. In between, sandwiched between Dr. Joseph Mercola, the author of Effortless Healing, 9 Simple Ways to Sidestep Illness, Shed Excess Weight, and Help Your Body Fix Itself. 8:14 and 8:16, as I said, Dr. Charlie Hennekins talking about how toothpaste may save your life. 8:13, Brett Finley, co-author of Let 'Em Eat Dirt, and of course, way back when, I'll give you one of those, 8:07, let's talk about it, 8:08, because I liked it so much. 8:08 was Dr. Amy Myers, Your Thyroid, The Thyroid Connection, Why You Feel Tired, Brain Fogged, and Overweight, and How to Get Your Life Back. Let's go and talk about the bad news today, and I hate to do this, but this is the bad news. For the first time since 1999, life expectancy dropped in the United States. Now, does that mean medical treatments aren't as good or complications? It probably means our lifestyle is catching up with us. What do we mean? That is that those things we aren't doing well, obesity, that is eating too much and eating the wrong foods, not doing enough physical activity, having too much unmanaged stress, and the good news, tobacco rates went down to 15%, 45% 1960, 15% now. If we are that slow with other lifestyle changes, food choices and portion size, physical inactivity, and managing stress, we are doomed as a society. We will be rationed to death, and we will have greater income and health inequality than we have ever had. We need to stop the influx of chronic disease. Let me read you this story. In 2015, the life expectancy of birth was 78.8 years for all Americans, a decrease of about 0.2 years for men and 0.1 year for women. That is, for males, life expectancy at birth went from 76.5 to 76.3, and for women, from 81.3 to 81.2. Women live about 5 years longer than men. At age 65, if you're about 65, what's the difference? It still is 2.6 years. In men, it is to about 83, and in women, it is about 20.6. Women live to about 86 once they get to 65, men to about 83. Those are both unchanged. So most of the decrease in life expectancy has occurred in the earlier years, and that's obviously not due to tobacco. There's no change in the top 10 causes of death: heart disease, cancer, chronic lower respiratory tract diseases, that's infections usually due to or started with tobacco, unintentional injuries, stroke, Alzheimer's disease, diabetes, influenza and pneumonia, kidney disease, and suicide. Together, those 10, 74.2%, that's almost three quarters of all deaths due to the 10 illnesses that are listed on birth certificates. And you notice, if you will, that the diseases, cancer is linked as one disease. It really isn't. It's about 40 different diseases, maybe more. So I'm not sure it's right to just link cancer as one disease. Infant deaths, the same rate as before. So it wasn't infant deaths. But what did increase? Well, the rate increased for heart disease, for respiratory diseases, for unintentional injuries, for stroke, for Alzheimer's disease by the most, for kidney disease, and for suicide. It actually decreased for cancer. We're succeeding at treating cancer. We're failing miserably, however, if you look at it, for the chronic diseases, for heart disease, diabetes, kidney disease, Alzheimer's disease, and, of course, suicide, that is, related to unintentional injuries, overdoses with opioids, etc. That's the bad news. We've got to, and I implore you, we've got to take control of our food choices. We've got to do more physical activity. We've got to learn how to manage disease how to manage stress, or we're going to have much more disease and lower our life expectancy. What other country has had lower life expectancy over the last 40 years? We haven't had it for 40 years, but one country has for the last, since 1990, had a decreased life expectancy. That's right, it is Russia. Russia, because of alcoholism and their own poor lifestyle choices, has a life expectancy of about 56, down from 65 in 1990. So economics determines this, and especially you need to have those treatments available. Those cost money. In order to have those, you have to have them only for the people who need them, which means we've got to get rid of the chronic disease that we don't need. And 80 to 90% of chronic disease can be prevented by the appropriate food choices and the appropriate portion amounts, doing some physical activity 30 minutes every day. Obviously, we want you to do 10,000 steps every day, 30 minutes of resistance exercise a week, 20 minutes three times a week of cardio, and 40 jumps a day. That's the ideal. Let's go to another subject. I've talked about that to death, but it is really important because it will cause more income inequality. It will cause more social divide in this country than anything we've ever seen before. So please spread the word, do your part, but also talk to your kids and get kids to do the right thing, and get kids to get their friends to do it, and you get your friends to manage that food choices and portion size, to get physically active, stop smoking, it still is number one, and to manage stress. Okay, common heartburn drugs up stroke risk. This is about a 25% increase in stroke risk from Nexium, Prevacid, Prilosec, Protonix, probably because it changes the bacteria in your gut, making them more inflammatory. But we don't know why. But people treated with high doses of protein pump inhibitors had a 21% increase in stroke risk. This study was done in Denmark. Over 250,000 Danish citizens participated. Increased risk from protein pump inhibitors. What does that mean? Should you not take them if you've got GERD, gastroesophageal reflux disease? No. You need these. They're important. But remember, they add to your risk of stroke. So you only want to take them for 2 weeks. Don't take them at the high doses. Take them for the low doses. When you go online and look at the ads on TV, please don't get your medical advice on GERD from a comic who is clearly overweight. It isn't right. We can do this. We've got to do this if we're going to survive as a society. You know, my friend Dan Nides, who's one of the physicians at one of the vice chairs of the Wellness Institute, the Cleveland Clinic, says we've got to have a plan that is just like we had in World War II, but instead of gearing up for armaments, we've got to gear up to take care of your health and be sure we get it under control. There is one campaign, I'm going to skip ahead, there is one campaign that has been really effective for this, and that is a public health campaign in Maryland. In Howard County, Maryland, they've decreased sugary drinks. What did they do? Well, they did everything. Between 2012 and 2015, sales of sugar-sweetened soda in the county fell by 20%, as did sales of fruit-flavored beverages with added sugars. How did they do it? Well, they did it with everything. They did it by creating TV ads locally. They have Howard County Unsweetened, made a concerted effort to encourage families through public TV, through radio ads, through signs, through exercise programs, through every way they could to encourage families to switch their drinks to no sugar, and they succeeded 20% less. That's much greater than the American change, which has been about a 6% increase, according to this data, between 2010 and 2015. The next study is a really good one that is important and that I really appreciate. And we're going to run out of time. We're going to have our guest, Leslie Michelson, going to talk about the patient's playbook, find the no mistake zone. This is really a wonderful book, and a book I love because it gives you practical advice. But Leslie Michelson coming up at in just a few minutes. And then, by the way, this is, and I always say it, this is podcast 817. You will want to hear podcast 817 again and again, because Leslie Michelson, author of The Patient's Playbook, Find the No Mistake Zone, wonderful, wonderful book. 818 is about lymphedema and lipedema, the incredible painful skin condition caused by too much fat, how to get rid of it, and lymphedema, often caused by cancer treatments and surgery for cancer. Let me get to the drug combo, reverse plaque buildup in heart patients. Well, everyone knows that statins, rosuvastatin, prevastatin, atorvastatin, that's Lipitor, and that's atorvastatin and Crestor, the ones you probably should take if you're going to take any, because they have anti-inflammatory effects. If your doc's got you on prevastatin, ask your doc to change to a more potent anti-inflammatory that also has a anti-LDL cholesterol effect. They're $4. They're still cheap per month because they're generic Lipitor, and it is so much more powerful for you. Get your doc switching you. If your doc doesn't switch you, switch your docs is the way I would say on this one. But we'll talk to Leslie Michelson about that and when you should switch your docs in a few minutes. But this is the combination of this plus a PCSK9, one of those drugs that works intravenously. Got to get it about every 2 weeks. It's expensive, but if you've got big plaque buildup and it's still building up, if you've got a pain with the statin drugs, well, this was combining this with the statins, actually decreased plaque buildup. So the authors of the paper note that it has, by the way, 87% of people stayed in the trial, but the authors note that the trial has somewhat of a limitation in only about 1,000 patients participating in it. Randomized trial looked at the volume of plaque rather than anything else and saw that they could decrease the plaque volume, that is the volume in your arteries. That's really key. If they had both the anti-cholesterol drug, that is the statin, and the drug that actually substituted for the statin, one of the PCSK9 inhibitors, talk to your physician about it. We have a couple patients now on it, and it is the combo, and it is working incredibly well. Quick update. Patients who have a medical home, that is who are seen in a primary care physician's office and are taken by a care coordinator, about a 10% increase in the ability to take their drugs reliably, and equal benefit in decreasing their risk of not having control of their diabetes. Control of their of your diabetes is really important. We'll talk about that. I think we're going to do that in session in podcast 819. We'll come back and say, why is it so important to control diabetes? And the screening of diabetes, why that's so important. We'll be right back on You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show with Leslie Michelson, The Patient's Playbook, a great, now I don't say this, I say this too often, that it's a great book, but this really is, this is sensational, outrageously good. That's how good this book is. We'll be right back on You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show.